Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today's sermon is number 4 in my 18-part sermon series on the book of Acts, entitled Facts in Acts. And what we've learned is that these facts recorded in the book of Acts are by no means irrelevant bits of information that have no meaning for our lives today. Far from it. Instead, these facts in Acts were recorded for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we could know the history of our salvation and how God will continue His saving mission today through us. Today's sermon title is, Nothing Can Stop God. Now at first that sermon title seems blatantly obvious. Someone might say to me, well of course, Pastor, who would ever think that anybody could keep God from doing what he wants? But when we examine our actions and our attitudes, it becomes obvious that we don't always really believe that God is in complete control. For example, on various occasions, that first generation of Christians became discouraged because it appeared that evil was in control. You see, Jesus had told them to be his witnesses and proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. And sometimes, many people would repent and believe. And then it was very easy to think that God was in control. But other times, people would reject God's word and then persecute the Christians who had witnessed to them. When that happened, Christians were tempted to doubt that God was in control. And maybe we feel the same way sometimes. I mean, we see all the evil in the world today and we wonder if God could really be in control. And more, we find that the faithful Christian message is either ignored by people who are apathetic about things spiritual, or worse yet, there are some who openly despise the Word of God that we proclaim. In other parts of the world today, there are Christians who are being persecuted and even killed simply because they are witnesses for Jesus. When all this happens, we begin to doubt if God is in control. But my friends, as we examine today's text from Acts chapter 5, we will learn that God is most certainly in control and that nothing can stop him from accomplishing his mission. And this is true even when evil seems to have the upper hand. With that said, let's continue by looking at Acts chapter 5. Verses 12 through 16, you can follow along in your bulletin if you like. What you need to know is at this point in history, not much time has passed since the Pentecost miracle recorded in Acts chapter 2. In fact, we heard about Pentecost 2 Sundays ago. Well, as we read Acts chapter 5, we see that the apostles and all those who believe their message, they're still in Jerusalem. And the apostles continue to perform miracles in Jesus' name. Now, last Sunday, we learned from Acts chapter 3 that the miracles that the apostles performed are not the most important thing. What we learned last Sunday is that the reason that the apostles performed miracles was that this was the evidence that they were the official representatives of Jesus. In other words, the apostles performed miracles so that the people would take their message seriously and listen to their teaching about Jesus. Their teaching which we now have in the New Testament scriptures. But sadly, there were some people who only wanted the miracles, but nothing more. They didn't want to hear the apostles' teaching about repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Sadly, we find the same problem today. People are willing to hear about God, but only when God tells us what we want to hear, and only when he somehow promises to give us earthly blessings. But sadly, many people today do not want to hear about their sin, and they do not want to hear how they need to trust in Jesus for forgiveness and new life with God. Therefore, we Christians must pray that God will deliver us from this sinful self-deception. Whenever we begin to think that we don't need to come to church on a regular basis, whenever we begin to think that we don't need to study God's Word and be nurtured by His teaching, we need to repent and know that God forgives us and ask Him to help us to make focusing on His Word and worshiping with fellow Christians a priority in our lives. In fact, as we read about these facts in Acts, the Holy Spirit will help us to see that the apostles' preaching and teaching is for our ears today, and God will move us to believe it. With that said, Luke goes on to tell us that even though many people were brought to faith in Jesus through the apostles' preaching, not many of them were willing to meet with them in public at this point. Now, why is that? Well, simply put, the apostles were being horribly persecuted by the unbelieving Jews. Now, on the one hand, this persecution actually strengthened the faith of some believers. They trusted in Jesus all the more when they were persecuted. In fact, they even supported one another all the more. At the end of Acts chapter 4, we're told that the believers gave generous offerings on a regular basis. They made giving to God's mission a priority in their lives, not merely an afterthought. Why did they do this? First, to make sure the ministry of the apostles could continue and that the mission of Jesus would go out into the world. And secondly, they also gave offerings to help the poor and needy in their midst. You must remember that some Christians were losing their jobs and losing their homes simply because they believed in Jesus. So part of the offerings were used to help fellow Christians in their times of need. On the other hand, as the persecution against Christians continued to increase, there were some believers who were less willing to go public about their faith in Jesus. Now, I don't judge them too harshly. I can understand what they must have been going through. For example, we might be tempted to avoid coming to public services like this if we knew that by coming here, we might be thrown into prison and tortured on top of it. If that were our experience, we might choose to worship in the privacy of our homes instead, just like the fellow Christians around the world today are forced to do. With that said, now we're ready to look at the next section of our reading, Acts 5, verses 17 through 32. Here Luke tells us that the unbelieving Jewish leaders arrested the apostles and put them in jail. In fact, they had been in jail before. But that's not a problem, you see, because nothing can stop God. Luke says that an angel came during the night and opened the doors of the jail and set the apostles free. And then the angel said to them, "Go and stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life." Did you hear that? God is going to make sure that His mission continues in this world one way or another. So, now the apostles are back in the temple courts, teaching the people God's word just as they were before. However, you might recall that the Jewish leaders still assume that the apostles are in jail. But they soon find out that they're not there, and they have no way to explain this mysterious situation. Obviously, yet another miracle has taken place. But sadly, they are so hard-hearted and closed to Jesus' teaching that they will not believe, even though God has yet worked another miracle and made His mission plain to them. While eventually someone tells the Jewish leaders that the apostles are back in the temple courts, and of course they're preaching and teaching about Jesus. So the Jewish leaders send them some guards to bring the apostles to them. But note, Luke says that they don't use force. Why? Because at this point, they're realizing that the apostles' message is becoming very popular, and they fear a rebellion from the people. However, the apostles willingly go with the guards, and they willingly meet with the Jewish leaders. Why? You see, the apostles view this as another opportunity to witness to them. But sadly, the Jewish leaders once again order them to stop teaching about Jesus. Now, I want you to hear again how the apostles respond when they're ordered to stop teaching about Jesus under threat of persecution. They say, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." First of all, did you notice that the apostles trusted God more than they feared the threats of the unbelievers? My friends, this is a wonderful example for us. We must pray that God will help us to trust Him more than we fear the mockery or the threats that we might receive from the unbelievers of this world. Next, the apostles clearly teach that even though our sins put Jesus on the cross, the fact is that Jesus is risen from the dead. That's right, it wasn't just those Jewish leaders who put Jesus on the cross. You must remember that Jesus went there for you and me, for all people. No one forced him to go there. He willingly went there bearing our sins. So we're just as guilty of Jesus' death as they were. But the fact is, Jesus is risen. And he longs to give us repentance and forgiveness of sins. Just think about that, my friends. Even though we're all guilty of sinning against God, even though we're the reason that Jesus was nailed to the cross, the risen Jesus wants to give us repentant hearts so that we can receive his forgiveness and live forever as his dearly loved children. My friends, the way that Jesus gives us this repentance, the way he gives us forgiveness, is that the Holy Spirit works through the preaching and teaching of God's Word to convict us of our sin and then give us faith in Jesus, who died for us and conquered death for us so that we might be forgiven and live now and always as his children. Now, what we have to understand is that just as God has given repentance and forgiveness of sins to us, God also wanted to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to those Jewish leaders back then. But sadly, like many today, those Jewish leaders hardened their hearts. After hearing the apostles tell them about Jesus once again, they responded that they were furious and wanted to put them to death. However, at this point, something very interesting happens. A famous Pharisee known as Gamaliel stands up and wants to speak. Now, this Gamaliel was a famous Jewish teacher. In fact, a man who would later become the Apostle Paul was actually a student of Gamaliel. So, what advice does Gamaliel give? Well, simply put, he suggests that the Jewish leaders should not openly oppose the apostles and those who follow them. Instead, they should trust that God is in control. So if the apostles' preaching and teaching is not of God, their work will eventually come to nothing, and it will be useless in the end. But on the other hand, if their preaching and teaching is of God, then nothing the Jewish leaders do will stop it. Now, let me tell you what this advice of Gamaliel does not mean for us. This does not mean that we should decide if someone's teaching is true based on whether it is successful or popular. You see, there are many successful and popular movements in the world today, but some of those movements are clearly false and of the devil and are in direct conflict with God's Word. In fact, we need to remember that Jesus himself said that the road to hell is wide and many go that way, but the road to heaven is narrow and few go that way. So instead, the point of Gamaliel's speech is that we should trust God to work out things as he sees best, even when it appears that God is not in control in the present. You see, the Jewish leaders were convinced that they were right and the apostles were wrong. And yet, even though they were convinced of this, they were so concerned about the apostles gaining popularity among the people. So Gamaliel's point is that they should trust God and not worry when the circumstances seem to be out of God's control. Now here's the interesting thing. Even though Gamaliel was not a Christian, the Holy Spirit saw fit to have his speech recorded in the book of Acts so that we Christians could benefit from his advice. Simply put, we Christians should trust that God is in control and that he will give us the victory in the end. And this is a fact, even when our circumstances in the present seem to suggest the obvious. For example, imagine how those first Christians must have felt sometimes. Many of them were rejected by their own families when they became Christians. Many of them lost their jobs, they lost their homes, and they were even fearing for their lives simply because they followed Jesus. Now it's true, there were some people who believed their witness about Jesus, but there were many others who mocked them and despised their preaching and teaching. When all this horrible stuff happened, they may have been tempted to doubt if God were really in control. But my friends, God is using our text from Acts chapter 5 today to encourage us. The words of our text teach us that nothing can stop God. I mean, think about this for a second. Jesus began his mission in this evil world almost 2,000 years ago by sending out a few frightened people who had the same weaknesses and the same fears that we have. Yet look what God has done these past 2,000 years. The good news about Jesus has spread over the world and saved countless people from eternal damnation. In fact, we are here today. We are here today rejoicing in the hope that we have in Jesus. And this is a fact because nothing can stop God. So let's go back to our text briefly. How does Gamaliel's speech work itself out? Well, sadly, even though he does convince the Jewish leaders not to put the apostles to death, he doesn't completely convince them to leave them alone. We're told that the Jewish leaders bring the apostles in and flog them. Now, you have to understand, back then, flogging was not just a few slaps on the back with a rope. No, this was a gruesome torture. They were whipped to the point where their whole back was just one open wound. They were probably bleeding profusely, suffering greatly. Now, how did the apostles react to this? Did they say, "I'm done with God now. God has let us down. I can't believe he would allow us to suffer like this when we were going out and being his witnesses. Forget about it. We're not going to witness for Jesus anymore." Is that their attitude? No. Listen to what Luke writes. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what can we learn from this? First of all, the apostles considered it an honor to suffer because of their witness for Jesus. You know, this reminds me of what Peter wrote years later in his first epistle. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he writes, "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." You see, my friends, the devil wants us to be ashamed of the fact that we trust in Jesus. The devil wants us to stop witnessing and to keep quiet about our faith. But we won't. Just like the apostles continued being witnesses for Jesus in spite of evil opposition, God will also give us the desire and the strength to be witnesses for Jesus in our world today. And how does He do this? First of all, God gives us strength and the desire to be His witnesses by reminding us that our sins are forgiven. Think of it. We all should be doomed to hell. We should have no hope whatsoever because of all of our sins against God. But instead of giving us what we deserve, God gave us His one and only Son. He sent Jesus to the cross to suffer and die in our place of damnation that we might stand before God completely innocent and forgiven for all eternity. When this good news captures our hearts, it changes our whole attitude about God and about life. When we realize that through Jesus our many sins are forgiven and that we are reconciled with God, that gives us the desire to want to live for Him and tell others about Jesus. And when we do suffer because of our witnesses, we consider it an honor that we suffer because we represent Jesus. Another thing that gives us strength and encouragement is the fact that Jesus is risen. And that means we're here today not worshiping a dead martyr, we're here worshiping our living Lord. That also means that no matter how bad things get in life, even if we have to face death itself, we know that we have certain hope. As we say at the end of the creed, we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The resurrection of Jesus gives us encouragement and strength to live as His people and to be His witnesses in this world, because we know that not even death can take away the hope that we have in Jesus. So leave this place today knowing that your many sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus. Leave this place today knowing that Jesus is risen and that nothing in all creation, not even death, can separate you from the eternal hope that you have through faith in Christ. As you focus on this wonderful gift that you've been given, God will continue to help you to be His witnesses in this world, even when it seems that evil has the upper hand. And we will consider it an honor if we are mocked and persecuted simply because we trust in Jesus. That's right, my friends. By the grace of God, we will continue to be His witnesses in this world because we know nothing can stop God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.